Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I recall that when Nehemiah went before his people with the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem before them, and he explained to them what they were going to do and how they could accomplish it, the Bible says the people responded, and their attitude was, "Let us rise up and build." And the explanation was given, the people had a mind to work. I come before you today assuming that that is your mind and my mind, that we do indeed have a genuine, sincere desire to help in the success of this gospel meeting. I think I have a right to assume that of you, and you have a right to assume that of me. Gospel meetings do not just happen to turn out good. If they turn out to be what they can be and what they ought to be, it's because people behind them have seen to it that they were going to be successful. Now, I want you to pay attention to what I want to say just here, because I want to say it in the right way. But you know, I didn't just start preaching the other day. And experience has told me some things, even about my brethren. And experience has told me it looks like, regardless of how much persuasion and evidence that you can offer, there are just some who are content and will not cooperate regardless. And I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry the cause of Christ labors under that. I'm sorry for the people who are of that disposition. They don't know what they're missing, and they don't know what they're going to miss. And that may be true of some of us here. God be your judge, not me. But I know that that has proven to be the case too many times. And I know that some of the things, possibly, that I would suggest here today will run off your back like water off of a duck. About the only thing I can do for you is just pray for you, because you're going to have to make the turnaround yourself to sing with sincerity what we've just sung together a moment ago, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." On the other hand, something else experience has taught me, that there are some people that are going to work and you can't tie them down and hold them. They love the Lord enough. They look out for ways and means to try to promote the cause of Christ. They're optimistic. They're aggressive. They're active. They're faithful. They're loyal. They're busy about the Lord's business. And no amount of discouragement is going to retard them. They're going to work for this and any and every other effort that promotes the cause of Christ. And thankfully, that's what keeps the cause of Christ burning brightly in the world. People like that. But there's something else that we most surely have learned, that there are others who sincerely and genuinely love the church. There are people who want to cooperate and do when they have opportunity. There are people who are just as willing to do their part as any of the rest, but they just don't always seem to know, what can I do? What ought I do? What is available for me to do in a given effort? That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to give you some suggestions as to what you can do to help this gospel meeting. I think, first of all, though, before I give you these suggestions, we need to understand, what are we trying to do in having a gospel meeting? Sometimes, some brethren have the attitude, well, we got to have a gospel meeting. Why? Well, we've always had a gospel meeting. And so time comes, they have a gospel meeting. And they really don't get much more into it or out of it than that. They just go through the motions of an annual gospel meeting. There are some congregations on the first or second Sunday of August, they're going to have that annual gospel meeting, whether it's needed or whether it's appropriate or regardless of what, that's just time to have the gospel meeting. That's all right, I suppose. But brethren, the gospel meeting is designed to accomplish certain very specific God-given scriptural goals. What are we trying to accomplish with this effort that's going to go from Sunday through Friday night here at this congregation? A lot of good things are overlooked and neglected and left undone when we lose sight of our goals and of our purposes. Number one, we are going to be here to worship God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. We're going to do those acts of worship that God has ordained in his word throughout that week. We're going to be trying to teach the gospel to those that are yet lost. Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is going to be one of the significant efforts of 1990 of the East End congregation to preach the gospel in this vicinity. There are so many people who are not Christians. Some of them are your mates, your children, your friends. And the gospel, heard, believed, and obeyed, will save them. Romans 1:16 tells us the gospel is God's power unto salvation. This is the reason it needs to be preached, and this is that which is going to be done throughout that week. There are others of our number who, tragically, for whatever reason or excuse, have fallen by the wayside. Brethren, those souls are precious. They're precious to God. They should be precious unto us. They are fallen brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes in the past, gospel meetings were called revivals. I suppose it's somewhat a shame that a Christian really has to be revived, but in the life of all of us, there are times that we need to be built up and made more optimistic and enthused and revived to some degree, but there are some that need to be more than just revived. They need to be restored. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. One of the purposes of the effort in which we are going to be involved together is to reach out to those who were once counted among our number. People of your acquaintance and mine, who are no longer counted among the saved of God, but have fallen by the wayside. Brethren, we owe it to them and to God and to ourselves and to the cause of Christ generally to do what we can to bring them back to the fold of safety. Though 90 and 9 would even be in the fold there, there's that one lost sheep. Our mission is yet before us. And then to those who are loyal and faithful, there is the constant, ever-present need of growth. Spiritual growth. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18, is a command of God. And we are going to be providing spiritual food, an opportunity for spiritual exercise for us to grow. So you see, when I ask us, what can I do to help the gospel meeting? I'm really asking, what can I do now, particularly that week, to help in the worship of God? What can I do to help win those who are yet lost? What can I do to restore my fallen brethren? What can I do to edify the church and to build up the church that we might spiritually grow? The first thing I suggest is so elementary. In fact, most of these things, I'm sure that if you'd sit down and think about them, you could think about them just as quickly as I can suggest them to you. Brethren, we need to pray for the success of this gospel meeting because this is God's work. This gospel meeting is going to be a part of God's business. I like the little verse that says, if you can't pray over it, don't do it. And after you pray over it, then get to it. Work and pray. That's exactly what we just got through singing. I don't know whether Greg knew this was what I was going to talk about or not, but I'm awfully glad you read that song. I will work and pray. Brethren, if we don't pray for success, we're really asking for failure. James tells us that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are so blessed to have this added view of communication with God that he has provided through his Son. Let us utilize it specifically with focus upon this fourfold mission that we have before us in this gospel meeting. Not only when we come together shall we pray, but surely you're involved in your private prayers daily. Remember henceforth this gospel meeting, and Brother Blair, who is coming to preach to us. It's also quite elementary to have a successful meeting for us to do our part. We've got to invite other people. Possibly more than any other time during the course of a calendar year, this offers an opportunity for us to invite people to our services, and we do have a responsibility. Cain one time asked the question, the religion of Jesus Christ answers the question, am I my brother's keeper? You better know it. We are responsible not only to one another, but to the lost and to the people of this vicinity. Brethren, there doubtless be a lot of people in Warren County that won't go to heaven. But let it not be because we have failed to invite. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, Revelation 22 and verse 17. Who is the Bride? Why, the Bride is the Church. We make up the Church. We send forth the invitation in the name of the Lord. Let us not fail to do that now. Somebody says, Well, they won't come. Well, maybe not, but you've done your duty, at least as far as you can to that extent. And some may come. Others have come. And when they came, the truth was ignited in their heart and the seed was planted there and it later brought forth their salvation in Jesus Christ. And right along that, let us show a genuine interest and love in the welfare of others. There's another good little phrase that people don't care how much you know until they first know how much you care. And we need to show genuinely, sincerely, not in some sort of fallacious way, but genuinely show we are concerned about others. I like to think about Andrew in the New Testament, how he did so much in bringing others to Christ. He was the one who first brought his brother, the Apostle Peter. He was the one on one occasion when some Gentiles came, said, Sir, we would see Jesus. He was the one that took them to see Jesus. He was the one that secured the lad that brought his little five loaves and two fishes with which Jesus Christ performed the miracle. Andrew was one who, he was not prominent like Paul and Peter in his preaching and so forth, but he was out showing concern and interest for other people because he cared whether they saw Christ or not. He cared whether they enjoyed salvation or not. And he did what he could and as he could to make sure they were brought in. Brethren, we speak to people of so many things. Cannot we express our genuine hope to the non-Christian that they be saved? And sometimes just a word of encouragement from the right source provokes people to obey the gospel. And sometimes I ask people, Is so-and-so a member of the church, people with whom they associate daily? I don't know. I've never asked. I've never discussed the subject with them. Brethren, that's not really as it ought to be. Generally, when I go off to try to preach in a gospel meeting, I have a little practice that I do, and it's not good because I do it. I do it because I think it's good. I try to find young people, teenagers, and I don't know those teenagers, and I generally know that is generally the practice at least. Some are members of the church and some are not. For the first service or two, I make it my point to speak to those young people. And I ask them, Are you a Christian? Are you in Christ? Have you been baptized? Many times they'll look at me rather astonished and say, Why, yes. I say, Well, I'm thankful for that. Do you know of any of the young people here who are not? And sometimes they'll say, Well, she's not, he's not. Well, I'll keep asking, and I'll ask a young person, Are you a member of the church? And they'll say, No, I'm not. Have you thought about it? Sometimes, yes. Well, not much. Just various answers. Could we talk about it? And many of a young person has responded to the invitation in that meeting with that first initial move. And I'll tell you what is sad. I have known teenagers whose parents were members of the church, and I will ask them, Are you a member of the church? No. Have you thought about it? Some. Have you ever talked to your parents about it? We've never discussed it. Brethren, little wonder some of our children are not in the Lord. We've never discussed it. Here they are, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18 years old. Their father and mother. We've never discussed it. Now, maybe we're just assuming that our children are concerned about their spiritual welfare and that we are concerned about their well-being. But brethren, we've got to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And you've got husbands and wives whom you dearly love. Can't you discuss it with them? Let them genuinely know you are concerned about their spiritual well-being. You want them to know the joy of the Lord that you know. And that's a part of our work, is it not? Of course, it goes without saying that we should attend all the services of this gospel meeting. And I want you to listen for a minute because you've heard people and preachers talk about this before and a lot of people haven't been impressed much with it. But in James chapter 2 and verse 18, there's this principle stated, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Brethren, you show your interest and your concern and your faith in the cause of Christ and in spreading the gospel by your presence at those services where the gospel is being upheld. What must our young people think when those of us who are older do not show a rabid, enthusiastic interest in such efforts as this? And young people, let me tell you also, there are people in our midst who have spent many, many years in the cause of Christ. They've labored fervently. They've toiled patiently. But when they see precious young people who are already baptized, disinterested, and in non-attendance in gospel meetings, that is such a discouragement to those faithful older brothers and sisters, and you ought not treat your older brothers and sisters that way. Young people, don't pull this stuff on me. It's school night. You go anywhere and everywhere else on school night you want to go. You know it, and I know it, and I see you, and you know I see you, and you know it's the truth. And this is one time I believe godly parents will overlook school night if you will come and support this gospel meeting. You've got a duty. You've got a responsibility. I know sometimes there are things that we cannot avoid and cannot hinder, but rightly considered, we have a duty, and God expects it. You make up the church. If the church doesn't uphold efforts like this, who in this world are going to? I remember on one occasion we were going from house to house, knocking on doors, inviting people to come to a gospel meeting. I knocked on a door and I got in a conversation with a fellow, and he said, "Do you know?" And he called a man's name. I said, "Yes." He said, "Doesn't he belong to that church up there you're talking about?" I said, "Yes, he sure does." I said, "I sure wish you would come to the gospel meeting." He didn't say yea nor nay, but he came. And the first thing he said, "Do you know where I can find?" He called the member of the church name. He wasn't there. Hadn't been there all week. Maybe he came Sunday morning and Sunday night to the meeting. He didn't come the other times. Wasn't because of work. Wasn't because of sickness. He was like some of the drones that I mentioned a moment ago that you couldn't move with dynamite. He did great harm to the cause of Christ. And do you think that individual who is his friend and who is acquaintance, who was motivated enough to come and came and didn't even find the people who are supposed to be upholding the thing, not even there? You think your influence doesn't radiate? It affects your other brethren. It affects the young. It affects the lost. Brethren, we ought to be present for the services. Now, these little passing things, I wouldn't make a mountain out of them, but try to be on time. I know sometimes people are hindered for one reason or another, but you wouldn't like it if the song leader always was late. You wouldn't like it if the preacher always drug in and after about the first or second song. And I'm not trying to tell you where to sit unless I can get away with it, and I never have been able to get away with it, so I won't try to tell you where to sit, but we're trying to be considerate of those who do have to get here late, and of those who may have children who need to take them to the choir room or something of nature like that. Come on down here. What's that TV show? Come on down. I wish that fellow would come up here sometime. If he was a Christian, I'd let him preach. Come on down. It helps the singing. It helps the preacher. And I've been preaching for nearly 40 years, and I've never converted a bench in my life that was empty. Nobody else will, and the Lord won't either. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you sit toward the back, there's something spiritually wrong with you. I've heard preachers say that, and I just wanted to get up and say, that's not so. Some of those faithful people in the church, right back there in the back, if they can hear me. But brethren, I'm just trying to encourage us to be a part. Get involved. It helps the worship. It helps the singing. It helps one another. Be on time. And brethren, we can be of such benefit to this meeting that when we come, we will be reverent and realize the seriousness in that in which we are involved. Now, being reverent, let's look at this. Some people think being reverent is gloomy face, long countenance, moping around, whispering like death is right on your shoulder. That's not necessarily reverence. You just may need some vitamins or something. Let's realize the seriousness of what we're doing. We have come to worship. We have come to proclaim the will of God, to save souls, to relieve to restore the fallen, to build ourselves up. We are before God in a special presence. And so we want to conduct ourselves in a way and in a manner, even as we do now, that will glorify His name and be of help to one another to get to heaven. After all, that's our mission toward one another. And reverence is such an important part in worship, because that's what the Lord meant when He talked about worshiping in spirit. That is included. One other thing, really two other things. When the song leader gets up and announces his number for us to sing, sing! It's one of the most disheartening things. You just don't want to look at them. Time come to sing. Unless they get his horse, his brother Starkey got there for 2 or 3 months, and it was good, he just kept quiet. But a lot of people just have a habit. They're not worshiping. I can't worship for you. You can't worship for me. Your wife can't worship for your husband either one. You are commanded to sing. Brethren, let's teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as the Scripture says. We can do what God wants us to do. God is not so concerned about the quality of your voice as He is the quality of your heart that is involved in this singing. I never will forget, and I know He's a good man, and He was a good preacher, and He had a great influence on me for the good. At least He tried to be for the good. But I remember Him one time talking about singing, and the next Sunday, He sat right up here, as the preacher always did before he preached. That's the reason I sat down there. I don't like anybody to look at me, what I'm doing. He sat right there, and during the songs, he never even opened the song book. And I thought, well, brother, I thought you said last Sunday we were supposed to sing. And then I got right charitable of heart, and I said, well, poor brother, he's hoarse today, and he's saving his voice for preaching. He wasn't hoarse. He just sat there like a bump on a pickle. And that had an influence on others. Negatively. We can at least make a joyful noise unto the Lord, brethren. And when we sing good here, I think. I mean, it's my judgment. If I was giving a grade, it would be certainly a high passing grade in my judgment, but God is the judge. But we all need to participate. And because I'll tell you what, good singing can cover up a lot of poor preaching. And I know, I've conducted enough gospel meetings to know. And you get a congregation that will sing and participate reverently and enthusiastically, they're ready to receive that word. My final suggestion, what you can do to help this gospel meeting. Now, you don't know Brother Blair, and I know him. And the way I know him is to be a fine gospel preacher, faithful to the truth. He is very capable. He's a very lovable man. Don't anybody tell him I said that. I won't be able to live with him. He's going to be at my house, and I'll have an awful time with him if he thinks I think that highly of him. But I do. And you will enjoy studying the Word of God with him. But when he preaches, as is true with any preacher, though he speaks to many people at the same time, he would like each individual to take heed to thyself. Apply the lessons to yourself. Brethren, to get the most out of a message, there are several things that you can do. You can do this any time, but particularly during a gospel meeting. Bring your Bible. Search the Scriptures to see whether or not the things he's saying is so. Bring your little notepad. Write down the Scriptures that he mentions. Take down the notes and the points. For if you're busy doing that, you won't have time to think about your grocery list and your carburetor going out and the work you've got to do. You're concentrating upon what's being preached, and you are studying right along with him. And you'll write down words that you haven't seen from the Scripture before, and thoughts, and something maybe that you have not contemplated heretofore, and explanations of things that you did not understand before. And then you'll be better able to discuss those points with others afterward and make application, not just to the one next to you. We all have the little saying that we say sometimes, it sure would have been good if they'd been here. You really gave it to them today. Well, take it to heart. Apply it to oneself. That's the way we're going to benefit. May I hurriedly summarize just 1, 2, 3, 4, right straight through. What can I do to help praise God, teach the lost, restore the fallen, strengthen the church. Number one, pray, invite, show genuine concern in others, be present, be on time, be reverent, sing, apply the lessons to oneself.